Welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's mid-May, the 19th. I'm Andy Klein, just getting over a little bit of a head cold, but I'm your host for today. We'll soldier through. Amplify Alaska is a fundraiser for Ok Rock. It's going to feature awesome local musicians and talent from across the state, so we'll hear from them. Then a bike rodeo is ahead to get your two-wheeler in shape for the summer. An art show at Picture This is called Freedom for All. And then we'll talk to Brenda from the Juno Audubon Society about tomorrow's bird walk. That's all today on a Juno Afternoon. I hope you'll join us. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Clean AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the Tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these Tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin Katka K Jin Talk, Anakaya Haani Kuk, Gunish Cheesh.
Our loving was hung up high and dry. Whoa, I could have swore that I knew why. I moved on about as fast as I fell. Not before I let you know me well. I remember you gently kissing my forehead. Sweet way to wake up that cold morning. Then you held my hand in the backseat. And I thought maybe you respected privacy. Maybe simply wasn't what it seems. Could it be you felt more for me? And I made myself to believe that for you, loving comes so easily. Come and go with the breeze, passing easily between them trees. And I made myself to believe that I simply accepted your easy pleasing. And I eagerly faced the breeze till it passed for them distant trees.
Well, that's the song stylings of a couple of years ago of Witty Youngman, who's here with us. Witty, it's fun to hear your own stuff. Is it fun to hear your own stuff in your headphones there, or is it a little bit like, okay, what's going on?
I just hear myself as like 22 years old writing about somebody that's long gone.
That's still good.
Yeah,
that is the nice. That's the predicament all artists, I think, would find themselves in. Right, everything that you do is a moment in time.
I agree.
Yeah. Yes. Well, tell me a little bit about that song, and we'll talk about this bigger event that we've got a bunch of people in the studio here to talk about. Both Ingville and Taylor Vidic is in here with us as well.
But sure. So that song is called "Between the Trees," and it's that song. If anybody were to listen to the lyrics, I'm talking about how in the beginning I feel like I'm a tree and this person is blowing through me like a breeze. And then by the end of the song, I say, well, now I've become the breeze blowing through the trees. Like, I'm going to be I'm going to be free. I'm going to like let myself be, and I'm going to care more about myself and just kind of like be free flowing and not take things so seriously and not take life so seriously. And that's kind of the mentality that I have still carried to this day.
That wasn't just wishful thinking for you. That was something that was really happening in your life that you were describing in that song. Yeah. Wow.
Definitely.
That's really cool. Taylor Vidic, how are you?
I'm so good, Andy.
How are you?
I'm so happy that the rain came back today.
You organize and fool you. You just are, you're on top of a lot of good stuff going on in Juneau, Alaska.
I'm trying my best.
It's pretty cool. Tell me about Amplify Alaska. Number one, this is all about Ok Rock, which is this really cool event that's happening, kind of the counterpoint to Celebration every year. Ok Rock happens. And tell me a little bit about what we got coming up here with Amplify Alaska and this kind of fun event that's happening.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what hat to put on while I reply to this question, because the event is happening at the Crystal Saloon.
Something with feathers, I'm hoping.
to benefit Ok Rock with help of Amplify Alaska, which is an organization that I think is going to be new to most people in Juneau. So I'm very excited. Actually, I'm going to pass it over to Ingvill so that she can explain more about what Amplify Alaska is, because that's, I think, my third hat, is that I was one of six interviews that they hosted this spring as a part of their podcast talking about the Alaskan music scene.
Awesome. So, Ingvill, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
nice to be back.
Tell us a little bit about this Amplify Alaska. What does that project entail?
Yeah, so Amplify Alaska is an evolving conversation and live event series, evolving in that it is not quite like wind blowing through trees, but it's a relatively free form in terms of media programming. It's a collaboration between Frostline Studios, which is a great audio and video company and studio in Anchorage, and my nonprofit, which is called Northern Culture Exchange. People don't need to know that, but during COVID pandemic, we kind of came upon a partnership that was a way of having live music played, not in front of people, but in a studio, and then podcast. You know, we made podcasts or we streamed interviews.
People were trying to figure this out.
You were trying to figure it out, and we kind of got in there.
Yeah.
So it was like one musician, and I also run a festival. I do a lot of different things in Anchorage, but we kind of had this sort of three entities: the studio and my production sort of side of things, and then musicians. And we figured out this sort of partnership where musicians are at the heart of it, and they choose the cause that they want to describe and talk about. And then we interview each musician, because it's all music-based so far. It could change. And then we all often have also had a representative for the cause in the studios, it being kind of like a two-way thing.
Yeah.
But it's all centered on what does music do? How does music help? How do the musicians see their community? What do we think is important to us? And what experiences have we had that have formed, made us create music? But also, how does it help us is sort of another aspect, maybe more sort of private view of a musician that people maybe just know from the stage and
so on. Woody, you're nodding your head. Have you been involved in one of these?
She's been
already
exposed to Amplify Alaska. You've had the Amplify Alaska treatment.
Yeah.
The full treatment.
I was one of the interviews. That was a full experience for sure.
How would you describe it? I mean, how was that experience different than a normal type of interview?
Yeah, it was a deep dive into a lot of the songs that we wrote. It was a deep dive into our lyricisms and like what we stand for. And then they really wanted us to, like she said, choose a topic that really spoke to us and why we want to continue making music. Like for me personally, I chose the Missing Murdered Indigenous People movement and spoke to it. And that's one of the topics of one of my songs. And that's the title track to one of the albums my first album that's coming out this year is that's the title track. It's called Forget Her Not. Mm-hmm. So I was able to speak on where the background story of that song came from and why it's so important to like keep that in the forefront. And we were able to talk on a lot of like contemporary issues that are on TV today and how all that ties into why it's important to like keep that conversation going. Mm-hmm. And I've known the person who interviewed me, I've known her for years. So it was just like talking with my friend over coffee.
Almost therapeutic kind of a thing, sounds like, in a way, right?
It was really cool.
Privilege for people to be able to really listen deeply to what you were describing to someone who was a friend that you were comfortable with as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really special. Taylor, let's talk about the lineup for what's happening.
Yep.
And then we can, let's talk, we'll talk a little bit further about how this thing will shape up.
Mm. Yeah. So music starts at 5 p.m. tomorrow night. We're each playing short sets with breaks in between. It's going to be a multimedia event. Is that, I think that's fair to say.
You could say so.
Yeah. There'll be a live stream component. So for people who are not in Juneau, they can still be tuning in because Frostline, a whole group of them are coming down from Anchorage and they'll be filming the whole thing. So we'll have the video folks set up in the back of the Crystal Saloon. We'll have our in-house sound engineer mixing sound for the room. And then I think Derek will be down in the basement.
Yeah.
I was down there today sweeping and I had to go home and take a shower because I was covered in
dust. He likes it. Derek's, he's good in the basement.
Yeah, we won't tell Derek that part. But he'll be downstairs in the basement mixing for the streamed version. So I go on at 5. Ooh, what's the order?
It's me next.
Okay, then Witty. And then Marion Call.
And then Marion Call.
Okay.
And then it is...
Finester,
who's a air... I was going to say Airbnb. He's an R&B singer, performer in Anchorage.
Born and raised in the Philippines, but
yes,
lived in Anchorage since
absolutely.
Like 2013 yep. or so, I read. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's really cool. He's awesome. And then it's...
Annie Bartholomew. Closing out with Kachung.
And then Kachung, who's, of course, mm-hmm. also... Yeah, it's natural that we close it with the header-upper of the Ok Rock.
Yeah, and he's right, and such a formative figure in Ok Rock. Yeah,
yeah,
that's really cool.
I'm hoping it'll be, I don't know, I think it'll be fun. People will be stopping in and out throughout the evening.
Yeah.
Because you can't expect someone to come for 4 hours. I think my parents might, but other than that, you know.
But the thing is also, we are live streaming and also obviously recording what we are streaming. So, and we're showing cuts from these podcast because all of the people who are performing have been interviewed in a similar way to what Willie was describing. So you're going to have some screens or something up in the Crystal Saloon, right? So people can, in between the artists, when we're changing over, you don't have to talk to anybody. You could just watch television instead, right? So no need to talk. Just
perfect
go
Saturday
to the bar
night.
And watch more. No. But, you know, it's kind of like that's a multimedia component. But it also, of course, is then broadcast. It's a complete 4-hour broadcast live stream out on YouTube, and then we have also our podcast is on Spotify. And
wow, it's fast. How,
like
have
that.
You done this sort of event before with this live component? How many of these have you done?
Well, we've been going for 3 years, so there's been a number of them.
Mostly in the Anchorage area or all around?
Yeah. Actually, this was the first time that we kind of broke out of of Anchorage. And, you know, the first year nobody could go anywhere because it was during the pandemic. Yeah. And then the second year, we're like, are we going to do it again? And that was when it started to morph into the format that we've now kind of landed on. So, yeah, it's really fun.
How do the evenings tend to go? You know, there's music and then people mill around and then the next set happens or how does it?
Yeah, I mean, it varies because this is the first time we're actually doing it in a bar type area. It's a listening venue, but it has a bar. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, we have to kind of actually, that's not true. We did one at the Willowa as well. So that's just so long ago. Seems now that I forgot. But it's the second one we're doing in a bar. So, it, you know, sometimes we've been in a church, we've been in a performing space, a community space.
A little
so
different than a space where everyone's just completely focused on what's happening on the
but
stage.
I think
right?
we picked here because we loved the Crystal Saloon when we came here. And, you know, don't forget, this is the fundraiser. So people online and here, they're not only sort of coming in and listening to the music. We have QR codes everywhere that will remind people what to do so they could just scan, you know, instead of putting dollar bills, you know, and they can donate anything from a dollar to $2,000. I'm miming something.
I mean, dollar bills are still
everyone,
welcome.
Listen, I'm miming, putting a dollar somewhere. I'm miming it right now. Yeah. So anyway, with the audio effect.
Ingvill is hosting.
No, but it's important. We raise funds for community causes, and then we've actually come kind of to our strength and go, we're musicians, we are a community cause, and we are helping another big music community cause, which is Ok Rock.
Well, the statewide talent, Finester, Kachung, Witty Youngman's here, Marion Call, Annie Bartholomew, Taylor Vidic, of course, from Juneau.
Yep.
So awesome to have you singing and have Annie and Marion there as well. And sounds like an amazing event. Like all this stuff happening.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Where do you look?
Mm. Yeah.
It's all going on all at once. Yeah.
Can I also say just like sort of shameless plug that we're doing, I'm down from Anchorage too with my colleague Rick Zielinski, and we actually have, we're warming up that very same venue, the Crystal Saloon, tonight with something called Alaska Electronic Orchestra.
Oh, cool.
Which you couldn't think of a more different kind of thing tonight than tomorrow. So people want to go to Crystal Saloon twice and just like remember how to get there and, you know all of that.
Stretch those muscles.
Most people listening know how to get there, I'm pretty sure. But it's 8 o'clock a really
tonight,
good tip to
8
go
o'clock tonight if they want to hear something very different from that. But we're so excited for thank you for having us.
Yes,
very, very excited.
So
Crystal
much.
Saloon is one of the best venues to play in right now, and we're just really excited about it.
Well, great. Mm-hmm. Well, Taylor, thanks so much for coming in. Witte and Ingvill, thank you so much for telling us all about it. It was great to hear your music. We're going to hear one coming up here. Should we play an older one of yours? Count on Me. Is that one that you'd...
Sure.
Is that a good one to play?
Sure.
All right, we're going to hear another one from Witte Youngman here. This is called Count on Me as we head out. Once again, it's happening tomorrow, Amplify Alaska Fundraising Festival for Awk Rock. It's 5 o'clock tomorrow at the Crystal. And it's gonna be a wild, multimedia, multi-experiential event.
Amen.
Does that sound about right?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Andy.
Let's do this.
Here's Witte Youngman.
See you there.
This is called Count on Me as we head to our next guest. Stay tuned. It's June afternoon.
Talking all about love and life, I looked him deep in his eyes, said, baby, I realize that of all these things that I've done, there's a few you wouldn't be so proud of, but of all these things I've learned.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K here at KTOO. I'm your host for today, Andy Klein, recovering from a cold, so sorry about that. But coming up next, we're going to hear from Pastor Terry Stage Harvey. Terry, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You got a fun event coming up as part of the summer lunch kind of program in general, right?
Yeah.
You've got a bike rodeo happening coming up, but we can talk about the bike rodeo, but we'll talk about all the stuff that you guys are kind of got planned for the summer for the community. It's really cool, all the stuff that you guys put together there at the Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church. So first of all, let's talk about the bike rodeo. It's coming up on June 4th.
I would love to. This is our 11th bike rodeo, I do believe. It's either our 10th or 11th. So we realized with a summer lunch program that kids were struggling to figure out how to get there. And someone was like, we should get a bus. And I'm like, no. That sounds like an insurance nightmare.
Right.
So we're like, let's have a bike rodeo and teach kids, make sure everyone has a bike, has a helmet, has a buddy to get them safely to summer lunch if they need it. And so with the help of freewheelers and Mendenhall Flying Lions, that was born.
That's cool.
So on June 4th, people can show up between 4 and 5:30. And if they have a bike that needs repaired, we've got a crew there repairing bikes. If they've outgrown their bike and need to go size up, we'll have bikes to swap out. We've got a safety course. And when they finish the safety course, they get tickets that they can use for hot dogs or the bouncy house or other games. And helmet fitting. And you know what? If a kid needs a bike, we figure out a way to make sure they have a bike.
Now, you guys have been doing it 11 years, you say?
Yeah.
Is that right? Wow, that's wild. So probably nothing's a surprise anymore. But when you were first getting it together, what were the things that you kind of happened upon that you were like, oh, we didn't realize this was going to be needed? Or
like everything.
Yeah,
It feels like it's always a surprise.
Right. This bike doesn't have a chain.
The passion. I think I was surprised by, I knew this, from my, like, when you think back to your own childhood and what a bike meant.
Yeah. Oh,
that
man.
First taste of freedom.
And how many hours you spent with that bike.
Right. Oh, like, and it was that sense of control. Like, I can get myself places. And so
Juneau's a town where that's still so available for children, you know? I mean, it's a really bikeable town. I mean, and, you know, not every area in the world is like that anymore. But boy, I can really imagine just ruling the roost as a kid in Juneau on your bike.
Right. And it is kind of like this, like right around noon, all of a sudden all these bikes converge and our bike rack is never overly pretty or organized, but it's just this mound of bikes. And I'm like, amen. That's right. What we're going for.
That's cool. Well, it all kind of ties into a lot of your summer programs. So let's talk about that. Some of your other summer programs that are going on, because you've got the summer lunch program happening as well, starting up on June 5th.
We do. So this is our 12th year of doing summer lunch. And we realized with our food pantry that it got really busy in the summer, which seems strange because we're like, everyone's working. Yeah. Why is this so busy? And we realized you've got extra mouths to feed. Kids who normally eat at school are now at home. Plus, like, kids travel in packs. So it's not like your kid shows up wanting a sandwich. It's the whole neighborhood.
The locusts descend on your refrigerator.
Right. Yeah. So we're like, you know, it feels like we need to start providing lunches and a place for kids to go. So that first year was pretty slow. Everything's a little slow getting it going. And we funded it. Lots of people provided some funds and we made that happen. The next year it picked up. We had the bike rodeo and it picked up. And it kept getting bigger. We were a USDA program for a while with federal funds. Then our neighborhood kind of moved on from that. And then COVID hit, right? And we kept running. We figured out a way outside to keep gathering kids
because
that seemed important.
Oh, man. That summer of COVID, that 2020. Yeah. Well, but I mean, that first summer especially was really rough, and kids were already having to stay home, and then on top of it.
It was. And so now we are funded generously by the Benito and Francis C. Gagin Foundation, and we get to invite anyone who's under 18 come and have free lunch.
What kind of lunches do you guys do?
Oh, do you want to know my favorite? Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I won't say my favorite. I could get me in trouble with cooks. Oh, so Monday is burger day. It's either tacos or sloppy joes. Tuesday's chicken day. So it's teriyaki chicken or chicken nuggets. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of love chicken nuggets.
Those nuggets. Like, I'm sure that's popular. I'm sure the kids are loving the nuggets.
Wednesday's spaghetti and mac and cheese. And Thursday's breakfast for lunch, which that's probably my favorite day. And then Friday's
is that sandwiches. Like waffles and pancakes and eggs
toast
and stuff?
And pancakes and lots of fresh fruit.
That's good.
So, and we've added, we realized after COVID, like especially that third through sixth grade group, just need a little extra love. I mean, a little extra time. So we added a day camp element on Tuesdays and Thursdays, an extra hour and a half. A smaller group, and they do cooking and science, and the Raptor Center came last year and talked about birds.
Wow, so it's really, it's growing in a way, just as the need is shown.
It is, and you know what I really love? I mean, there's lots of things I love, but one thing that I love is we are the first job for a lot of kids. So we hire guides, kind of our small group leaders, and teach them how to do conflict resolution and how to engage and have conversation, how to show up on time and fill out your forms. I mean, that's huge.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. Well, I know I kind of printed out your flyer, which is really cool, has great information on it. All this information you've been talking about, which is very cool. Although I would say that the Friday is Sandwiches Day.
Is that your favorite?
I like a good pork day. Well, that's amazing. Because I was expecting you to say, like, well, you know, we alternate between peanut butter and jelly and, you know. And I was like, man, you're talking like meals.
Oh,
this
grilled,
is good.
They have to be grilled, too.
Yeah.
Like, cold sandwiches don't cut it.
No cold sandwiches. But there is a note in here saying volunteers needed. So tell me about that. What kind of stuff is needed, or if someone were to want to volunteer, what could they expect out of what they need to do?
So it takes us about 70 volunteers on top of our staff, and we have tried to stagger those volunteer times. So depending on people's comfort with being around larger groups. So in the evening, on many nights, we need a couple preppers. So they come in, and it's normally just them in the church, and they prep the meal for the next day. So then the cook has it's a lot easier for them. And then we have servers, the people who serve the food to the kids, make sure we have the portions right and all that. Those are our big ones. And then dishwashers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Always.
You need like the cleanup. We go through a lot of dishes. Yeah, we try not to do disposables just to.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Because you would go through a lot of disposable through a summer.
Would. And something about teaching that convenience is not always convenient. There's a cost that comes with that. So,
Even though it's a program just where you're, you know, for kids are, you know, getting a lunch, there's a teaching element to it.
Oh, there's lots of teaching elements,
community element to it for sure.
Yeah. So if people are interested in volunteering, they can go on our website, sovlutheran.org, and there's a link there. We do run background checks, even though most of our volunteers don't necessarily interact with the kids. That's more staff other than serving across the counter. Mm-hmm. But
And then I also noticed that the bike rodeo is great. You know, tune up your bike, bring your bike in for bike repair. But if you don't even have a bike, there's the opportunity to maybe be able to get a loaner bike
if you're a kiddo.
Yeah. You're a kid. Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's awesome.
You know what? A huge thank you to Cycle Alaska Freewheelers. They really make that happen.
Does that happen for almost all the kids that really need a bike? They really can get one?
I mean, that's our goal. Yeah, I'm not going to like,
no,
I won't make a pinky promise.
No guarantees here. I'm just saying that it seems like you're able to meet that.
You know what? If we can't meet it the day of the bike rodeo, we write it down, and people are generous in this town and they
make
it happen.
That's great. Wow. That's really, really cool. What a cool thing. Well, it's the kickoff event sort of for the summer lunch whole thing, right?
In the bouncy house. Like,
we haven't mentioned the bouncy house.
So it's a TMHS band bouncy house, which is as big as our sanctuary. And I know that because that's where it goes. And it just makes me happy.
Yeah. Bouncy house in the sanctuary. That's really fun. Well, that's really cool. So it's all happening. It starts on it's all Sunday. It starts at 4. It goes 4 to 5:30 p.m. on Sunday. This is June 4th, not this coming Sunday, but on June 4th out at Shepherd of the Valley, a Lutheran church. And then the summer lunch program. Is there a sign up or something that has to happen for the summer lunch program? Or how do people get involved in that, or parents who might be listening?
Right. So it is great. It's very helpful for us if people go on our website and there is the link to do a registration. We don't require registration for summer lunch. It is a drop-in program. It is not child care. We do ask the kids who drop in need to be able to go to the bathroom themselves and not run into the street. Like that's kind of our parameters.
Right.
And I lost my train there. So that's summer lunch, who can come. And then day camp, though, it's the first 20 kids who register.
Okay, there's a day camp as well.
That's the day camp, the extra hour and a half for third through sixth graders.
Gotcha.
So they do need to go on the link and say, hey, I want that. It's helpful for us in planning bike buddies. So if you live within a mile of the church and you got a kiddo who wants to come, but they don't feel confident getting themselves there, I'll send two of our staff people and they'll ride with them.
Wow, that's so cool. All this stuff that you guys are doing just to enable this ability for kids to have freedom during summer. It's such a cool
thing. It's freedom and it's learning how to play together. And like, I don't entertain kids. I'll sit there and play with chalk and stuff, but being present with them and having that time to figure it out together. It's important.
Yeah, very cool. All right. Well, it's it's all starting to happen here in the next couple of weeks. I'm sure your anxiety's ramping up as you have to get towards this, but that's really, it's really cool. Of course, all these cool activities are happening out Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church. That's over at 4212 Mendenhall Loop Road. And it's the summer lunch program that starts on June 5th. But before that, Sunday right before that is the bike rodeo. If you need a bike or a helmet, or if you just want to get your bike repaired and make sure that it's ready for the summer, there's also a safety course and there's free helmets available and all that stuff happening. Yeah. And there's also giveaway bikes available. It's all happening. 4 o'clock is when it starts Sunday, June 4th at Shepherd of the Valley. Well, thanks so much, Terry, for coming in and letting us know all about it.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the bicycle race there with Queen. Very good stuff. Love that classic rock. Coming up next, we got folks here that are going to be doing a really interesting art show. It's called Freedom for All. It's going to be happening at Picture This. And the person that runs Picture This is here. That's Des Arison. Des, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. And also Amy Keston is here and Sherry Paul. Great to see you.
Hello,
my
Andy.
Friends here. How are you? Good
Hi.
To see you both.
Yes, good to see you too.
And let's talk a little bit about it. This is an art show with a little bit of more meaning behind it because it's a fundraiser for the Juno Pro-Choice Coalition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it's called Freedom for All. And what we really wanted to do was celebrate. So June is also Pride Month and there's Juneteenth. And we have the same kind of view that they do where we're saying, you know, live and let live. And so we wanted to do a show to bring together a bunch of different people in Juneau to come and really celebrate live and let live. So
yeah. Just tell me about some of the artwork that you've got collected for this. Is it multiple artists?
Yeah, it's actually really exciting. So we have like dozens of artists have donated their artwork over the past couple months. And so at the moment we have like 31 different artists and so many
31.
Different things.
That's, yeah. It's not that huge of a space, 31 artists.
No, I'm taking everything out and we're going to fill it up. So, but it's a bunch of different, it's a bunch of different random things too, which is really exciting. It's not just one thing. So it's in addition to the regular two-dimensional artwork, like watercolors and prints that you would normally see on the wall, there's, books, prints on metal and glass art, baskets, wool, pottery, ceramics. I mean, jewelry.
It's
And
any digital artwork? Any sculpture?
Yeah, we've got some sculpture artwork. We've got jewelry. There's books. There's
mosaics.
Yeah. I mean,
quilted items.
Did everyone here go into sort of collecting some of the items? Did you, Amy, as well?
Yeah. I had some friends I have a lot of friends who are quilters. So I have two interesting items that have been donated by them and, you know, friends that are photographers.
Sure. Yeah. I guess we all do, right? We've been around long enough. How about you, Sherry? Do you have some favorites in the collection that you've seen so far?
I actually haven't seen the whole collection.
No, it's a surprise.
Because it's like, but I've seen the names of some of the folks who've donated and, you know, mosaics is becoming pretty popular pastime. And I've learned a little from Barb Scheinberg and Jeannie Mugg, and they both donated some beautiful
pieces. I've seen Barb's stuff. It's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So cool. I mean, that's so interesting. You mentioned her name just because there's just people that you know and you've known forever. And then you don't realize that, they're also really awesome artists and they do this and they dedicate a lot of time and effort and talent towards this other thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really cool. Did you, given that it's a fundraiser for Juno Pro-Choice Coalition, did you concentrate on female artists?
No, actually. We actually have quite a few male artists in here as well. So all the art that is going to be for sale, the proceeds are going to go to the Juno Pro-Choice annual scholarship that they do every year. So this year they awarded $4,500 to three different people. And that's for awarded every year to high school seniors or adults in their continued education. So
do we know the three people?
Yeah.
We've got
Isabel Jones. Janie Villanueva and Mackenzie Christensen. And so they are the ones that each won $1,500 this year.
Oh, that's
and
cool. So does it go towards college or towards any sort of?
They can use it towards whatever they need to in their continued education. So if it's to buy books or, you know, whatever they need just to help support them.
Yeah, that's really cool. Another kind of a place for sort of scholarship and just a funding area. Mm-hmm. You know, kids, I think, have to, boy, they have to scrap together a lot of funds to go to school.
Yeah, that's expensive,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit more about some of the artwork or some of the artists.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I have so far as of today, I have 31 different people donate, and some of them several different items. But I mean, so far we've got Lily Hope, Johnny Ellis, Larry Johansson, Bart Erickson, Tom Bornstein, Kim Peterson, Timmy Johnson, Terry Robus, Jeremy Kane, Jane Lindsay, Sandra Becher, David Becher, Mindy Hendrickson, Richard Heibhart, so I say that right, Heibhart, Barb Sheenberg, Arnie Weimer, Jeannie Monk, Aisha Wise, Carrie Kirkpatrick, Alyssa Coverdan, Pua Maunu, Neil McConaughey, Ashley Swinton, David Woody, Ricochet Crafts, and then more.
Wow, so, yeah, that's amazing. A lot of familiar names there, but also some, like I was saying, some who are friends that I didn't realize did artwork. And then, yeah, that's really very cool.
Yeah, so this, so I'm still actually accepting donations right now. So until May 26th. So if you want to participate, you can still bring it in to picture this. This is not just for well-established artists too, you know, home artists, if you're, you know, just doing your own craft and you want to put something in there. The whole point of this is to really just show the diversity of art, just like there's a diversity of people. You know, we all have a different perspective. We all have a different opinion and we all want to make different choices. And so this was kind of a representation of, you know, imagine if artists all just used crayons on paper. It would just be boring, right? You know, or they all sat on the same rock on the same beach. It wouldn't be the same thing. So just like in the art world, you know, we as people need to have different perspectives and different opinions. And so this is really, I wanted to make this a safe space for everybody to come to. You know, this is for the Juno Pro-Choice Coalition, but that doesn't mean that, you know, pro-choice is often seen as pro-abortion, but it's not. It's saying pro-choice. So people from all sides should be able to come together and feel safe to talk to each other. And that's what this whole thing was about.
Tell me a little bit about your gallery itself, the picture of this.
Yeah, so I'm a frame shop. So I mostly do custom picture framing. And they were just looking for a place to do it. And I said, well, I can do an art show.
Do you
that's
do
that's
you,
what I know to do.
Do you have art?
Yep,
you
so
have
I do.
Like a kind of a gallery and you have like a cadre
I do. I have stuff
that...
mostly I, you know, they're examples of the different things that I can do with framing. But I do have art for sale, but I'm actually going to take that all down during the month of June, and it's all only going to be for this show. And so
the whole month. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. So we're going to have a big party on June 2nd. We're actually going to have some music from Dara Relatus, I try to say it properly, and we're going to have food and bubbly drinks, and it's just going to be really fun. So I hope that people get to come down and check it out. But if you don't make it on the 2nd, it's actually going to be hanging the whole month of June.
Cool.
So,
and Amy, did your group kind of approach picture this, or how did this coalition happen?
Well,
here?
Des has become very involved in Juno Pro-Choice Coalition. She was a speaker, sort of a main speaker at LunaFest, and many people in Juno and in the listening audience, I'm sure, attended that. And so that's how we first connect. I've known Des for years. I actually rented a room to her probably 20 years ago. You know,
Juno connections.
Right, Juno connections. And unfortunately, this is going to give us a new way to look at things. LunaFest isn't going to be happening this next year. The Luna company is taking a break from doing it. So we really need to think of other ways to fundraise. And at our monthly meetings, we did start thinking about other things. So, you know, we just started brainstorming.
This is the result of a brainstorm, having an art show.
You know, our board is diverse. We have artists on it. We have, you know, business people. We have retirees. We have all sorts of people, and we welcome participation in that further.
Well, just one more time, let's just go through the kind of details of the art show, Freedom for All.
Yeah, so it's going to be a show unlike any other. It's very random, an eclectic collection. All the art is for sale, and it's been donated by the Genesis Artist Community here in Juneau. All proceeds are going to the JPCC annual scholarship awarded to high school seniors and adults in their continued education.
Is there a goal for the money for that scholarship every year? Is it always $4,500 or?
No. So they try to award. I mean, this is my first year that I actually just kind of sat and watched, but they try to award it as generously as possible. So they see how much money they raise and see how much they can give out. And it's not even a set amount of people. It was like, you know, we want to try to spread this as far and wide as it can. And it was really fun to watch them do that. It's pretty impressive.
Very cool.
There is another arm. That's the Political Action Committee, but we don't really do a lot of fundraising for that. This is just
strictly for
the
scholarships. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, I just really love the idea that you have so many different forms of artwork that's going to be displayed.
Because
so often you do see something that's like, okay, well, this is going to be a watercolor display we'll see today, or this is going to be. And to have 31 artists represented with all different kinds of media represented is really exciting.
Yeah, I've never seen a show like it, honestly. Yeah. I think
must be difficult to hang it in a way.
I think it's going to be fun. You know, I'm actually it's going to be on, you know, flat surfaces and walls. And, you know, I pretty much said anything you want to donate, I'll figure out a way to display it. I mean, if you want to donate a totem pole, I'll figure it out. Right. You know, we're going to make it happen.
Yeah. And I know one piece is going to have to hang from the ceiling.
Yeah. And lighting. And that must be a challenge.
Well, I mean, all of it, I'm going to do the best in the space that I have. Yeah. And I think it's just going to be fun no matter what we do.
All right. Well, to find out, opening June 2nd, it's at Picture This, and that's at 230 South Franklin Street at Suite 110. It's at the bottom of the Marine View Building. And thanks to all of you for coming in and letting us know about it.
Yeah,
it's going to be happening all the month of June, but June 2nd's the party. Go to the party.
Go to the celebration. Yes.
Yeah. And if you want to look at any more information, junochoice.com, or you can call me at 907-463-3700. And I would love to talk you through it. Okay. If you have anything to donate, you still have time. One more week.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, and have a great
Andy.
Show.
Thanks,
Thank
Andy.
You for coming in.
Thank you.
Coming up next, here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Listen for a moment to this remarkable drumming of a ruffed grouse. The resulting percussion, produced by a rapid beating of the wings, is a vivid example of a non-vocal or instrumental bird sound. Birds communicate with a fascinating array of instrumental sounds, and nearly all are made by their feathers or bills. A woodpecker's territorial drumming is a familiar example. The bird raps its bill briskly against the most resonant nearby object, which is sometimes the metal vent pipe on your roof. The male Wilson's snipe creates a magical flute-like sound in flight, fluttering its wings to direct the flow of air over outspread tail feathers. Listen to this American crow. It makes this clattering sound by rattling the edges of its bill together. And an American bittern's comical burps are, well, burps made by swallowing air and then releasing it. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
All right, burping crows. I love it. Welcome back to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. I'm Andy Klein, and joining us now are members of the Juno Audubon Society. Brenda Rice here. Brenda, so great to see you.
It's nice to see you again.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know, but there's still birds out there.
I think they're making you do Wednesday shows. I don't do the Wednesday show. But anyway, okay, well, it's great to see you. And joining us is Betsy and Scott Fisher. Betsy and Scott, thanks so much for coming in.
Good to be here.
To see you guys. I was just saying, I see you out on the Dyke Trail always with binoculars and hand and spotting scopes and photography and all that stuff. And that's an exciting thing part of what we're going to talk about today, because the walk coming up is going to be you all leading the walk and concentrating on photography. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Focus on photography.
Yeah. So tell me about the how just bird watching differs from bird watching with a mind to photography.
More equipment.
Yeah.
And heavier. A more sore back.
Right.
Yeah, there seems to be – there are kind of two kinds of bird photographers, I think, too. There's the person who just carries a camera so that if they have their doubts in a identification, they try to get a photo and that's it. And then there are the photographers who want to, you know, maybe get a nice composed photo that can be posted on Facebook or printed or whatever.
Yeah, birding in itself is such a kind of wonderful, contemplative, quiet, you know, hobby. But then also that extra element of setting up with composition and trying to really line up a beautiful photograph that's not just a snapshot of a bird, but is something that really does a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
Takes practice.
Yeah, right. Do you think you're there?
No.
No.
Always learning.
Yeah.
We actually went out this morning birding on the Airport Dyke Trail, and we came up with four P's for –
All right.
For bird photography, which were prepare, practice, patience, and persistence. And I think the prepare is you make sure your camera's ready, you know what you're looking for. And there's so many things that you go out there and you realize you forgot to do or your camera's not ready, but in any case, you try to be as prepared as you can be, and then you practice. And you may not see birds immediately, but you want to be ready. You got to be ready when you see them.
And when you say practice on that, you know, what goes into practicing on birding?
Well, we go out and we'll see a dozen robins or a dozen crows. And there is a big bird that kind of sits relatively more still than a lot of the other birds. So, you know, we get to take a few shots of those guys, focus on them, make sure the lighting is right, make sure that our f-stop is right and that sort of thing. So when we get to the little tiny, fast-moving, colorful birds, we're better prepared.
Yeah. I guess I'm also thinking in terms of as a birder, becoming a better birder in a way.
Yes.
Maybe that's something, Brenda, that you would have more input on. But,
no.
But you know, because
practice.
I know that like through the years, as I've gotten more attuned to wanting to figure out what birds are flying around, you know, you start listening more, you start really looking for movement more, you start casting your gaze up a little bit more. All those things start happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah, your eye becomes better trained. People who are truly expert birders and have been doing it all their lives can hear and see things so much more readily than us mere mortals can.
Yeah.
That it's quite impressive. And we learn from them.
Yeah.
So that's part of the preparation and practice.
And those were two of the P's. What are the now?
And then patience.
Yeah.
Because you go out there, someone has seen an unusual bird or a flock of colorful warblers that you really would like to get some good photos of, and they're not there. So you
or are they?
Or are they? Yes.
Where are they?
And so you can't just run around chasing after the birds. Sometimes you have to let the birds come to you.
I've done that so many times. The one I remember so distinctly was there were owls on the Dyke Trail.
Yes. That's
and
right.
I went out there three or four times and, you know, stood around for 3 minutes and then said, well, they're not here. Gotta go. You know, I got things to do. And that's part of it too. That part of that patience is making sure your schedule is a little bit clear, right? So that you have some time to actually take it in.
The alternative to that, Andy, is you could be married to Scott, have him go out and find them for waiting for 2 years trying to find a particular bird, come home and tell you that he found it. And then you run out there and go, oh, yeah,
there
cool.
It is. Yeah, that was easy.
Although occasionally it works the other way.
But we use photography, too, to learn more about the birds. You know, we'll see a bird out there that is just a silhouette and, you know, try take a picture if we can and then go home and put it on the computer and lighten it up. And a lot of times then we can actually get an ID and learn from it.
I was going to mention, I mean, this is maybe old news now, but I mean, digital photography must have just changed everything about how this operates.
It gives you a lot of film.
Yeah.
You never run out of film. Your battery might go dead.
Yeah.
But you never run out of film.
Do you find yourself using your camera and then kind of zooming in just even on the viewfinder on the camera a lot?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
100%.
Yeah. Like Betsy said, we're not using film anymore. Digitally, you don't worry about how many photos you take. And yeah, if you need to take another photo, then go ahead.
Do you kind of, when you approach it, you see a bird that's of interest, do you normally get a couple of snaps, kind of look at it, and then move into position for the kind of right photo? Or is it?
Definitely try to, I approach it, if I see a bird out there and I'm doubtful of what it is, I'll take a long shot and make sure that that's the photo that if I don't get another one that I'm still going to be able to identify it, then I'll try to move in or reposition for better light and, get a little closer and all the things for a good, crisp, colorful photo.
Yeah.
I think that's where the persistence comes
in. There
you go. Yeah. You have to be persistent and keep trying. Don't be dismayed. I was commenting this morning after coming back from the Dyke Trail, it was quite windy. It got a little chilly, and I'd been used to the really nice weather the last few days, so I got a little cold. And then it started to rain, and I looked at Scott, and I said, 5 or 6 years ago, I would have been really frustrated by today. But we heard and saw quite a bit.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So it changed. My persistence has paid off.
Well, speaking of hearing, let's talk about a particular bird of interest that you wanted to bring up, which is
the Wilson snipe.
Wilson snipe. Now, I am pretty sure I saw one of these in my lawn about 3 years ago. I walked out of my lawn and I thought to myself, who threw a rock in my yard? What is going on? And I walked up to it and it did that classic flush, you know, because I really thought it was a rock. It just kind of was sitting in a little spot in my yard that a rock could have been in. And I walked up to it and it just went, took off.
Yep.
But I took some pictures of it first because I was like, I'm going to take pictures. Someone threw something in my yard. And then I looked back later and I saw the beak, that really distinctive beak. And then I went back and I thought, I think that was a snipe. Yeah. So if it was a snipe, would it have been a Wilson snipe in this area, or
yes,
could have been other ones? It would have been the Wilsons.
Okay. Have to be a Wilson's here.
Okay. Well, so you told us about a sound that's online. Actually, I went to All About Birds. I'm not sure if that was the one that you shared with us, but All About Birds is a great website. You can just type in any species and it has film footage and calls and songs, calls, alerts, all that. So this is the just multiple sounds of the Wilson snipe here that we'll hear right here. That's it. Just kind of a lot of shorebirds maybe kind of have those similar calls, I would say. Right?
But it's actually very, very loud if you're even within 100 yards of it. It's loud.
Yeah. When I approached this rock in my yard, I was absolutely startled and taken aback when it flew off. And I did made some sort of call, as I remember. Mm-hmm. But,
it's that sound, that winnowing sound, is actually their wings as they ascend into the air.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Yeah, they're attracting the ladies with that sound.
What time of year are they here?
Right now.
Okay.
Yep. They like being here when the grass is just starting to get green. And most of the time, almost all of them leave for winter. Once in a great while, we get one on the Christmas bird count, but not very often.
And are they heading up towards the tundra or what?
Oh, no, they live here.
This is where they come. This is their destination.
Yep, yep. And I've had some folks come from Middle California coming to see where they spend the summer because they spend the winter with them.
Oh, down in Napa. Huh. Nice place. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good place to spend the winter.
It's wine tasting.
Yeah, got a nice little of the vino there. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. So any other interesting, I mean, this is an interesting time of year right now birding,
this
right?
This is the time.
The Audubon Tour just happened.
Yeah.
So what are some of the birds to watch out for right now?
The migrants.
Yeah, the shorebirds are migrating through. And so literally hundreds of those. But right now we're also seeing a lot of warblers, which are always fun. The Townsend's yellow warblers, Wilson's warblers.
And they're named that because they do have this beautiful little warble, right?
Yes. I mean,
yeah. Their songs are usually very, very pretty.
Yeah, yeah. It's, when you're tracking a bird like that, are you looking for movement or are you listening for the song first?
Song first.
Yeah, yeah.
Often it's the song first and then...
I think it's amazing that they come just as a time when the leaves are about the same size as the bird. It's almost exactly the same size.
When you say the migrants, are they moving through or are some of them also staying here?
Some stay, but a lot of the migrants are headed north.
Just that huge insect bloom that happens in the tundra and all that. They're just going for that feast.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're nesting up there. Right. And then they'll return. Often their route is the same as they go back to their wintering grounds.
Great.
South of here.
Well, Brenda, if folks want to join Betsy and Scott on this bird walk with a focus on photography, what do they do? It's happening tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Airport Dyke Trail, 8 a.m. It will definitely go till 10, but you can stay as long as you like. And bring your binoculars and your boots and maybe a raincoat tomorrow.
And your camera.
If you have it. We have a few binoculars to loan out. And we want to emphasize that everyone is welcome on these walks.
Whether it's photography focused or not, right?
Okay. Yes.
And even if you haven't birded before, I would think, right?
This everyone. Is a fair time to just go. All our programs.
You've never birded before and you want to see what it's like, see what's
everything,
going on.
Everything Audubon Society does is open to everyone.
Well, thanks so much to all of you for coming in, Betsy and Scott and Brenda. Great to see you again.
Nice to see you.
That's the Juneau Audubon Society Bird Walk that's happening tomorrow.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for Juneau Afternoon for today, broadcast live from Glengit-Aa-Ni on KTOO 104.3 FM, online at ktoo.org, and rebroadcast on the station at 7 p.m. It's a production of Juneau KTOO Arts and Culture Team. Boston Christopher is our producer, and we had help today from Aaron Tripp. Our theme music's from Indian Agent. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. Until next time, thanks.